as we take a ride through the corridors of corruption, discerning fact from fiction and truth from lies, with your host, George Dunn.
Well, hello, patriots, ladies and gentlemen, folks all around the world. My name is George Dunn, and this is the George Dunn Show. And I'm glad you could join me. Today is February 23rd. And so we got a big show for you today. Lots of things to talk about. So we're just going to get right on to it. And the first order of business is the memory verse. Well, today I didn't memorize a verse because I want to read a portion of scripture. And maybe it's too much. I think I've already got it, but I don't know. You know. I'll just read it so I don't make any mistakes. So this seems to apply, in my opinion, to a lot of the things that are going on in the world right now. And this is the Messiah's triumph and kingdom in Psalm, Psalm chapter 2, or as Beijing Biden says, the palmist. Okay, so from the palmist, because he reads bad, I guess. All right, so Psalm number 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are those who put their trust in him. All right. So there we go with Psalm or Palmist 2, according to Beijing Joe. And so first order of business today wouldn't be right since I haven't done an episode for a week. It wouldn't be right for me not to, as everyone has, and rightly so, to mention the big voice on the right. The guy who does his commentary with one hand tied behind his back, or his left brain tied behind his back, just to make it be fair, or something along those lines. We loved Rush Limbaugh, the beloved, a giant who made conservative talk radio, is gone off to glory, and I do believe he was a believer. We are still learning from his Rush Revere CDs about the history of America, not revisionist history, true history. And he will greatly be missed. All right, so I want to talk about Rush Limbaugh's 10 greatest quotes of all time. I have to put my reading glasses on. I'm doing a little bit of reading here. Forgive me. So, the Gateway Pundit put out an article. Dan Bongino posted, and Sean Hannity reposted, 20 greatest quotes from Rush Limbaugh. We've taken the top 10 from his list and reposted below. I'm not going to read all 10, and surely it's hard to pick from all the great things that Rush has said over his illustrious many decades career. So here we go with the first one, a quote from the great Maharishi, the one who, what did he say? Something, he said something like, the one who is the best and the best at annoying liberals are driving them crazy. Okay, so, quote, morality is not defined and cannot be defined by individual choice. That's correct. We need a close quote. That's correct. We need a fixed standard of morality that everyone adheres to. God gave that or established that standard and gave it to us in his word, the Bible. And beyond the Ten Commandments, or for our Jewish friends, the 613 mitzvah, the Bible says that the law is written on our hearts through the operation of a healthy conscience. It says in Romans 2:15, the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. Okay, so the next quote is, quote, no nation has ever taxed itself into prosperity, close quote. Taxes are just an undeserved financial lien on the American citizenry, if you ask my opinion. Next quote. Quote, end results that work, that don't involve government, threaten liberals. Close quote. Of course, because they need you to be dependent on them so that they are positionally over you. But government in America is supposed to work for the American citizen. It's a purposely forgotten inconvenience by liberals. Okay? All right, next quote. Let me tell you who we conservatives are. We love people. When we look out over the United States of America, when we are anywhere, when we see a group of people such as this or anywhere, we see Americans. We see human beings. We don't see groups. We don't see victims. Close quote. Yes, the identity politics of the left creates victims. Number one, so that the Democrats can pander to the needs of the victims to get elected and then do nothing for the so-called victim. Okay, and then number two, because if you constantly see yourself as a victim, not only do you expect recompense that liberals say that they'll give you, but you place yourself below another, expecting them to do for you instead of getting up and doing for yourself, which you're free to do in this country, expected and encouraged to do to make your families and communities better, but not encouraged to do so by Democrats. That would defeat their purpose. Okay. Quote, in a country of children where the option is Santa Claus or work, what wins? Question mark. Close quote. So, in other words, handouts from the Democrat Santa bag. Remember, folks, nothing is free. It's only taken from some and given to others. The government has no money of its own. They take it from you, the citizen. It's called redistribution. Okay. Redistribution of wealth. So, quote, progress is not striving for economic justice or fairness, but economic growth. Close quote. The focus here, I believe, isn't economic disparities. It's whether your personal income is going up. That's growth. Okay, something that rarely happens under Democrat presidents and policies, except for the wealthiest. We're always talking about taxing the rich, but we'll get to that. That's coming. Okay, so let's see. Quote, you know why there's a Second Amendment? In case the government fails to follow the first one. And, quote, what about feeling sorry for those who pay taxes? Those are the people no one ever feels sorry for. They are asked to give and give until they have no more to give. And when they say enough, they're called selfish. All right, so that's the great Maharishi. Rush Limbaugh, he will greatly be missed. Putting him on the radio every day and listen to him. I've done it for decades. I still remember even as a little boy. My friend's dad listening to him in the kitchen. And that's where I heard it for the first time. But yeah, Rush Limbaugh, RIP, brother. Say hi to Jesus for me. Okay, I know you got your mind set on other things. Let's move on. Okay. Trump's CPAC speech to focus on countering China, dismantling big tech, the big tech monopoly, and reopening schools. The Epoch Times has an article, and I'd just be the first to say I'm excited to hear Trump again. I'm excited that he's going to be speaking at CPAC on Sunday, February 28th. I believe the dates of CPAC are February 25th through the 28th. But the 28th is the big Sunday where Trump gets to speak. And I call it CPAC Sunday, CPAC Fun Day Sunday. I'm just making stuff up. So Trump is he's going to speak, and he'll lay out an optimistic vision for America and focus on standing up to China, reviving U.S. manufacturing, dismantling the monopoly of big tech, reopening schools and securing the border, among other topics. So this Stephen Miller is doing the reporting here for the Epoch Times. And he said, I've had the opportunity to speak to the president, and he's very excited to make his upcoming address to CPAC, where you'll hear him lay out his positive vision for the future of this country, a vision where we stand up to China, as the president was doing before he left office, and reclaim our manufacturing, a vision where our schools are open and our border is closed to illegal immigration, a vision where a big tech monopoly is dismantled and free speech and free expression and free thought can reign, because that's what this country is about. And he goes on to say, Miller, by the way, Stephen Miller, it was Stephen Miller, yes. He was the architect of the Trump administration's immigration policy. And he said earlier in the interview that Biden's actions on immigration are, quote, madness, close quote. The legislation put forward by President Biden and congressional Democrats would fundamentally erase the essence of America's nationhood for the first time. I believe in human history, Miller said, this legislation proposes sending applications to previously deported illegal immigrants and giving them the chance to re-enter the country on a rapid path to citizenship. My thoughts are the following. First, if you open the borders, as sleepy, creepy Joe Beijing Biden is doing, it erases the defined edges of a country, causing it to just be absorbed into the rest of the world population, which is perfect if you're pro-globalist and not so much if you believe in American exceptionalism. And second, they want to send rapid path citizenship applications to people who have already broken established law in our country by being, quote, illegal immigrants, close quote, not going about the migration the legal way. It's not really taking on the best of the best kind of folks, if you know what I mean. That's just, let's just populate the U.S. with criminally minded people. Okay? That I don't lack empathy but things have to be done the legal way. So, Trump's remarks on big tech and free speech will be particularly significant because Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms banned him before he left office. Yes, the communistic tyranny of big tech, banning a sitting president for something he was acquitted for in a second sham impeachment trial, witch hunt. Okay, so February 25th, 28th, Trump will deliver his speech on the last day of the conference. I said that, I think, before. And you're going to hear Trump talk about the future of the Republican Party. Okay? We saw President Trump bring in a record amount of African American voters, Latino American voters on the GOP side, bigger numbers than we've seen in modern Republican presidential history, for sure. And we have to keep these voters engaged in the party, Stephen Miller says. This is so true. Like I said, it's an issue where you need to be sensitive and, you know, we need to love people. Typically, that's what the liberals do. They jump into an emotional argument. The problem is with amnesty. What about the people who have been trying to come here the legal way? Legal laws on records. Facts don't care about your feelings, and I suppose laws don't either. You don't like it, change the laws. But again, if you don't have a border, going back to the original thought, you're only encouraging other people to say, why am I doing this legally if everybody else is allowed to do it illegally? And it's so much easier. Yay. And again, you've got people who have already broken the law, who they're trying to get back in. It's all for votes. You know, it's all for votes. So anyway, let's move on to the next article. Okay. From Fox News. New York backtracks on de Blasio's plan to close Trump-owned ice rinks. When will it end? They just can't stop going after this guy. It must be fear. It must be fear. Okay, so the city is doing a full 180 on its plan to shutter Trump-operated ice skating rinks. City Hall on Sunday reversed Mayor de Blasio's move to shutter Lasker and Woolman rinks in Central Park 6 weeks ahead of their typical April closing dates in an effort to freeze out, get it, ice rinks, freeze out, okay, to freeze out his political rival. De Blasio, by the way, is far from being Trump's political rival. Yes, I'm sure he hates Trump, but a rival is typically someone in the same league, and Mayor de Blasio is a gnat to Trump. A little fly, a little speck. Okay, we all know that. I don't even know why they wrote that in the article. He's no rival. He's just he's against him. Anyway, different party. So anyway, New York City kids deserve all the time on the ice. But this is something that the City Hall press secretary, Bill Neidhart, told the Post. New York City kids deserve all the time on the ice that they can get this year. The Woolman and Lasker rinks will stay open under current management for the few weeks left in this season. But he goes on to say, but make no mistake, we will not be doing business with the Trump Organization going forward. Inciting an insurrection will never be forgotten or forgiven. Okay. Trump didn't, for the 100 millionth, 1 billion, 1 gazillion, at least I did that in the right order, as opposed to Biden, 100 billion, 1 million, anyway, $100 million, right? Okay. So Trump, he didn't incite the erection. As he told supporters, and we've heard this over and over again on the video, to, quote, peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard, close quote. Lies and lies and lies and more lies. You know, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Okay. So this guy named Hisner, okay, announced last month he was nixing the city's contract with the Trump organization, alleging then President Trump had incited a riot at the Capitol. The rinks were both set to be shuttered at close on Sunday. The stunning policy reversal came after devastated skaters fumed over the weekend that they shouldn't be kept off the ice due to Hisner's beef with the Trump administration. The real people they're hurting are the 2,500 children that have been benefiting from the skating program this season, and 250 innocent employees who have been keeping this going for us, says Lee Klausner, who is watching her two daughters skate. Isn't that horrible that these fights go beyond adults acting like children and project onto the children who just want to ice skate? So the next order of business is really the same business. The harassment never ends. New York City District Attorney Cy Vance subpoenas property tax agency in his unending quest to find a crime to pin on Donald Trump. They just can't stop. They're obsessed with this man. Crooked Manhattan. I mean, from the very beginning, when he rode down the escalator. I mean, they wanted his head on a platter then. Anyway, Crooked Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance has been stalking and harassing President Trump for years now. In September 2019, Manhattan District Attorney Cy Vance Jr. subpoenaed 8 years of Trump's tax returns and corporate income tax returns. In February 2020, Cy Vance filed briefs with the Supreme Court seeking access to President Trump's tax records. Now, this weekend, Reuters reported the Manhattan District Attorney's Office has subpoenaed a New York City property tax agency as part of a criminal investigation into Donald Trump's company, suggesting prosecutors are examining the former president's efforts to reduce his commercial real estate taxes for possible evidence of fraud. They want to determine whether Trump's business inflated the value of his properties to secure favorable terms on loans while deflating those values to lower tax bills for those same properties. New York City Tax Commission President Francis Henn confirmed the subpoena in response to an inquiry from Reuters. The subpoena likely would compel the agency to provide detailed income and expense statements the Trump Organization would have filed as part of an effort to lower the tax assessments on some of his commercial properties, according to people familiar with the commission's operations. Trump's holdings include Trump Tower and Trump Plaza. This guy Vance, he reminds me of Javert. Javert's relentless pursuit of Jean Valjean in Les Miserables. Hopefully his pursuit of Trump will end in the same way Javert's did, metaphorically speaking. Okay. So in the context of that story, we've got the Supreme Court. It won't halt New York subpoena for Trump's taxes. There they go again. And the Washington Times reports, the Supreme Court denied former President Donald Trump's attempt to halt the New York subpoena for nearly a decade of his tax records on Monday. The move paves the way for the Manhattan District Attorney's Office to get the documents and present them to a grand jury in a criminal probe. The former president's attorney had asked the high court to postpone the state's subpoena while the case was litigated in the lower courts, but the justices declined to do so. Although, last year, the justices ruled that the House Democrats could not subpoena the president's financial records in hopes of finding criminal wrongdoing, but the court held a similar subpoena from Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance, Jr., was valid in a state court probe. Why is the same rule illegal for one group but not the other? Right? A ruling should be for all to follow equally with no exceptions to the rule. It just seems like all willy-nilly, it's good for you but not for you. I don't even get that. Nah. Mr. Trump claimed the subpoena was political and copied the Democrats' congressional subpoena. He said that the request was overbroad and lacked good faith. Of course it lacks good faith. Dems have been trying to destroy Trump from, as I said, from the very day he rode down the escalator in Trump Towers. I mean, it's got to be fear. They just hate him. They've got Trump derangement syndrome. It's crazy. TDS. All right. So then, as we move on to more news about the current supreme disaster that is our Supreme Court. I was all happy when, you know, we got three alleged conservative justices picked by Trump. But I haven't agreed with a lot of their rulings lately. It seems to me that the old guard, Thomas and Alito, are the ones that I'm really a fan of. So the Supreme Court dismisses a slew of 2020 presidential election lawsuits. So yesterday, Monday, what would it be? The 22nd of February, the Supreme Court threw out a series of remaining challenges to the election process and election results in several states left over from the recent presidential cycle, election cycle. So to me, that's like an employer giving you tasks to do. You refuse to look at or do them. And then when it becomes an old stack of neglected requirements sitting on your desk, you just swipe it off to the wastebasket. Wastebasket. That's official office speak. You just sweep it off into the trash can and move on without any repercussions, reprimands, or penalties from your employer. That's what SCOTUS just did here. By refusing to hear cases about election integrity, letting them get old and then sweeping them into the can. Can anyone say term limits for SCOTUS? Wouldn't that be good? Okay. The lifetime appointments granted them are so that they are above politics. But clearly you've got left and especially left-leaning judges who legislate from the bench instead of interpreting the law like they're supposed to do. So one of the lawsuits was brought that was rejected, it was swept on, you know, into the can, was brought by Rep. Mike Kelly, representative for PA. Kelly had asked the Supreme Court to consider his lawsuit, which challenged mail-in voting policies in his home state of Pennsylvania. Yeah. That came about by the Secretary of State and Governor of Pennsylvania circumventing the legislatures, as we've spoken about in prior podcasts, circumventing the legislatures and changing election laws that they're not allowed to do constitutionally. Only the state legislatures are allowed to do that, but nothing to see here. Let's move along. Kelly argued that Act 77, the 2019 state statute that authorized universal no-excuses mail-in voting, violated the Constitution. The Supreme Court also denied a petition seeking review in the Republican Party of Pennsylvania versus DeGraffenried. Yeah. Another case dismissed was brought by lawyer Linwood against Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, challenging results and policies in Georgia. Same type of stuff going on there. A case from Arizona, Ward versus Jackson, was also dismissed. That lawsuit challenged Biden's victory at the polls in the state. An appeal lodged by Trump against Wisconsin results was denied. The case was Trump versus Biden. So thanks for nothing, SCOTUS. I suppose about 74 million Americans who voted for Trump will just have to wonder if there's any integrity left in our elections. You could have settled it, but you took the coward's way out. And by the way, cowards are the first group of folks thrown into the lake of fire. In Revelation 21, verse 8, it says, "But the cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." That's a shame. Hopefully they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus and their work ethic will probably change for the better. All right. Moving on. So now we come to good old Governor Andy Cuomo. Cuomo's Emmy-winning cover-up. An article by the American Spectator. Andrew Cuomo seemed to be cruising to a comfortable re-election in 2022 with favorable poll numbers around 56%. He slipped a little in the most recent polling, but given the fact that New York is one of the most liberal states in the nation, he may still be re-elected despite the thousands of deaths he caused by his March 2020 order. It was an executive order forcing nursing homes to admit COVID patients and his cover-up of the effect of that order. Before that scandal broke, Cuomo had been having a very good pandemic. His widely praised daily televised briefings, compared by some to Franklin Roosevelt's fireside chats during the Great Depression, earned Cuomo an Emmy and a lucrative book deal. Yeah, the book Andy Cuomo wrote about himself being the best governor in America during a global pandemic is what that was, and if being the best governor means the negligent homicide of tens of thousands of grandmas and grandpas, then yeah, sure. a New York Times bestseller, Governor Andrew Cuomo tells the riveting story of how he took charge in the fight against COVID-19 as New York became the epicenter of the pandemic, offering hard-won lessons in leadership and his vision for the path forward. So by March 2020, we knew that COVID was highly contagious. We also knew that older people were most vulnerable and likely to die of COVID-19. So Cuomo issued an order, it was an executive order, on March 25th, 2020, to govern the return to nursing homes by previously hospitalized COVID patients and the admission to nursing homes of new COVID-infected residents based on hospital overcrowding. Cuomo's order reportedly resulted in more than 6,000 COVID patients being moved into. Let me read that again. Cuomo's order reportedly resulted in more than 6,000 COVID patients being moved into nursing homes. Yeah, the nursing home staff and management was pleading Cuomo not to send these sick folks into the nursing homes, as it could infect, make sick, and kill folks. He said it had to happen because of hospital overcrowding. The necessary and foreseeable consequence of Cuomo's order was to expose other nursing home residents as well as their caregivers to the disease. Then came the deaths of Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean's in-laws in New York nursing homes. Both deaths occurred long-term in long-term care facilities, and both occurred because they apparently contracted COVID from COVID-infected patients moved into the nursing homes under Cuomo's order. The media ignored Dean and incessantly praised Cuomo's televised COVID conferences. In November, Cuomo was given an Emmy for his COVID pressers. The CEO of the International Academy of Television, Arts, and Sciences said, let's make it a show, okay? Let's make it a show. The government's 111 daily briefings worked so well because he effectively created television shows, okay? Reality TV. Real reality TV. Using the death of people. It effectively created television shows with character plot lines and stories of success and failures. He added, people around the world tuned in to find out what was going on, and New York tough became a symbol of determination to fight back. At one point, Cuomo said, who cares if they died in a hospital, died in a nursing home? They died. I don't know. That's my best Cuomo, I guess. It was as cynically callous as the statement, remember, Hillary Clinton made about the deaths in Benghazi, which she's pretty much responsible for, when they begged her to send help or transfer them out of there. Anyway, Hillary Clinton made on the deaths of the Benghazi terrorist attack when she told Senate Foreign Relations Committee in answer to a question about what caused the attack. She said, at this point, what difference does it make? Okay, that's probably my best Hillary Clinton, too. Flash forward to the report by the New York Post of a leaked conversation between Cuomo's top aide, Melissa DeRosa, and state Democratic lawmakers that she and Cuomo deliberately covered up the extent and number of deaths in nursing homes from COVID. She attributed the action to Trump. Ooh. So here comes the blame shift, and it's a ridiculous one. She attributed the action to Trump, who she said had directed the Justice Department to demand the real numbers, at which point she said, we froze, because they were afraid the real numbers would be used against them politically. Because they froze, quote unquote, Cuomo and DeRosa blocked any disclosure of the truth about COVID deaths in nursing homes to both the state legislators and the Justice Department. Obstruction of justice? Anyone? So Cuomo lies about the numbers of deaths he made happen by executive order, gets caught, and then remember the nursing home staff and management that pleaded Cuomo not to send sick folks into their facilities. Cuomo responds to getting caught by deleting the executive order from his governor website, and then blamed the very staff that begged him not to do what he did, saying that the staff workers were infected asymptomatically and got the residents sick. What a devil Cuomo is. The number of deaths were about a double those reported by the Cuomo administration. They reportedly numbered 12,749 as of January 14th, 2021. DeRosa, you heard that, right? Okay. The numbers. Cuomo death toll. Negligent homicide, 12,749. DeRosa's admission has resulted in calls for Cuomo's impeachment, his resignation, and thorough investigation by the Justice Department and Congress. At one point, President Biden said Cuomo's handling of the pandemic was our gold standard, quote unquote. It was as much of a lie as the big lie Biden said during a CNN town hall meeting last week. Biden told CNN, we didn't have the COVID vaccine when he was inaugurated. That's Biden. Despite the facts that the vaccines were developed in record time only because of Trump's Operation Warp Speed, and that the first vaccinations occurred a month before Biden was inaugurated. Not only that, okay, but Biden supposedly got the vaccine before he was inaugurated. I say supposedly because I wonder if they used a fake retractable syringe or needle to jab him. I guess Biden's dementia is so severe that he forgot what happened a few months ago. I'm still having trouble believing that America elected a dementia-in-chief president of these here not-so United States. But I digress. It's too much to hope for that the New York General Assembly will impeach Cuomo or that he will resign. It's also too much to expect that Biden's Justice Department or Democrat-dominated Congress will investigate and condemn Cuomo's March 2020 order, which is, by the way, deleted from his website, like I said before. Interesting. What? Why wouldn't you just put it out there if that's what you did? Under New York State's Penal Code, Section 125.10, a person is guilty of negligent homicide when his conduct beyond that which a reasonable person would do causes the death of a human being by being careless, reckless, or inattentive. Cuomo's conduct in issuing his March order and his failure to revoke it when the effects were apparent fits that bill. His cover-up was a conspiracy to conceal that crime, and he should be indicted on the more than 12,000 counts of negligent homicide. And he's got to go. He's got to go. Governor Cuomo, you got to go. Okay? No more Laurel and Hardy shows with you and your brother, Fredo. Okay? We're done with that. It was lame anyway. Glad you were able to give your brother some wedgies when you guys were kids. Best governor in the United States. Self-written. In your own book about yourself and your handling of the pandemic, killing more than 12,000 people, neglectfully homiciding them. It's not funny. It's an uncomfortable laugh that I do sometimes. Anyway, so that's it for Cuomo. Let's move along to the next article of involvement. Now, folks, you're really, really going to love this one. Democrats are pushing a bill that forces all states to count ballots received 10 days after an election. Why might they do that? Is it possibly because if they do that, then they can know how many votes to find? Okay, let's find out. The Gateway Pundit. Way back before China coronavirus pandemic, Democrats were pushing mail-in voting. Before the pandemic, okay? It's not because of the pandemic. They were pushing mail-in voting, ballot harvesting, and other schemes to, this article says, to steal their way into office. Now, whoa. I know with the cancel culture and big tech censoring and silencing and deleting accounts and all of that stuff, we've got to say that steal may get flagged. And if I use that, my account might get shut down and or the video banned. With the, like I said, with the big tech communist censorship environment that we have today. So I'll say voting schemes making election wins favorable to Democrat victories. Let's say that. Also, I believe I read somewhere that the politically correct words police are pushing for China virus to be flagged and to be changed to CCP virus. And not sure who can keep up with what you can and can't say anymore nowadays, and so on. So, in January 2019, a full year before Americans had ever heard of COVID-19, the Democrats in Washington introduced the Vote by Mail-In Act of 2019, a bill to allow eligible voters to vote by mail in federal elections. Regardless of what the Democrats are saying today, their vote by mail, quote unquote, scheme has nothing to do with the China virus and everything to do with power, power grabbing. It's all they care about. They don't care about you. Get that through your head if you're a Democrat. They do not care about you. Well, I mean, there may be a few, but why they're Democrats, I can't figure that one out. So anyway, it was not just the Democrat senators who were pushing new legislation on stealing votes or making them more favorable. Let's say making them more favorable to Democrat victories. The Pelosi Democrats, in their first move after taking control of the U.S. House, was to pass H.R. 1, the For the People Act. The bill allowed Democrats to harvest ballots from old people in nursing homes, a criminal act in most states, and allowed foreigners to vote in U.S. elections. You did hear that, right? Allow foreigners to vote in, right. Dan Crenshaw tweeted that on March 8th, 2019. He said, next time you go to the ballot box, keep in mind the future of the party. The future of their party is in cities like San Fran, where illegals can vote, and let that sink in. And now this, a new bill introduced by House Democrats called, quote, For the People Act of 2021, close quote, will ensure Democrats can count ballots for days and days after an election until they have enough votes to win. Right? What did I say? Okay. The bill prohibits any laws from being This is important. This bill prohibits any laws from being constructed that would forbid states from counting ballots received over 10 days after an election. Trending Politics reported, did you catch that? In other words, if states want to count ballots received 10 or more days past Election Day, then the Congress would not be allowed to stop them from doing so. Tying their legislative hands there on purpose. A disaster for the American voting public, if you ask me. If there is a quasi-legal loophole for the Democrats to, that they can find to advantage their party and disadvantage another party or an opposing party, believe me, they'll find it and exploit it. Some folks might call that cheating. Okay, moving on to the next article. So this segment is called America First. Diplomacy is over. Biden tells the G7 summit. Okay. This is an article by the Daily Wire, of course, with my commentary. I can't get away from that. President Biden told leaders at the G7 summit on Friday, the same day the U.S. Re-entered the Paris Agreement, the Paris Climate Accord, that the days of America First, quote-unquote, diplomacy championed by former President Trump were over, according to the New York Times. I hate quoting them. What a failing dumb newspaper. Anyway, as the New York Post, which cited Biden's intent to declare on Friday that the America First era was over, noted, Biden has swiftly dismantled Trump's foreign policy agenda, which saw the U.S. withdrawal from the World Health Organization, good, the Paris Agreement, good, and the Iran nuclear deal, which Trump believed were against the nation's interest. Okay, what I say is that's true on so many levels that it was against the interests of the nation, and on so many levels and so many reasons, but the big termination point of all of this is to fulfill the evil globalist desire for a one-world government that's prophesied to come for the service and allegiance to the Antichrist in the book of Revelation, in the Bible. Think about it, okay? If you were the devil and his minions, who would be a great group of people to influence towards your goals for world domination? Ding, 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 ding. You got it. Politicians. Okay? So Biden claimed America is back. The transatlantic alliance is back. We are not looking backward, he stated. We have to prove that our model isn't a relic of history. You got to prove that it's good, and you never do. You never do. Socialism, world globalism, all of that never works. It only works to benefit power for certain individuals. As they say about socialism, until they run out of everybody else's money. Sorry, rabbit trail there. So we must demonstrate that the democracies can still deliver for our people in this changed world. What is changing to? I don't like it where this world is, looks like the trajectory is going, but it's not. It's out of my hands. The only thing I can do is do what I can do and what I know to do. And I'm doing it right now. Okay, so that is our galvanizing mission. Democracy doesn't happen by accident. We have to defend it, strengthen it, renew it. The G7 group includes the United States, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, and the United Kingdom as its organization. And I say this is sure getting close to looking like the Alliance of Kingdoms in Revelation chapter 13. Just check it out. Seven heads, 10 horns. Crazy stuff. Former Secretary of State, my man, Mike Pompeo, he condemned Biden's alteration of the American foreign policy, telling Fox News that the U.S. can't afford 8 more years of Barack Obama. That's right. This is Barack Obama's third term, by the way. Can't afford more than 8 more years of Barack Obama's foreign policy. When he says back, when America is back, what does he mean back to letting China walk all over us, destroying millions of jobs in places like Kansas and South Carolina that we know so well? I hope that's not what he means by back. Remember, Trump waved the magic wand and got all the manufacturing jobs back, and in what, like 40-some executive orders, 42 executive orders within a couple of weeks of Biden's presidency, he wiped it all out. Keystone XL pipeline gone. It's all kinds of stuff. I hope he gets sued good. So speaking at a virtual address Friday to the annual Munich Security Conference, Biden added, "We're in the midst of a fundamental debate about the future direction of our world," adding that the debate is between those who argue that given all the challenges we face from the fourth industrial revolution to a global pandemic, autocracy is the best way forward, and those who understand that democracy is essential to meeting those challenges, as AP reported, Associated Press. Did you hear that? What's that? What'd you say, Beijing Biden? Are you advocating for autocracy? You just said, quote, autocracy is the best way forward, and those who understand that democracy is essential, or those who understand that democracy is essential to meeting those challenges, close quote. Autocracy is a system of government by one person with absolute power. Looking forward to the Antichrist or anything like that. Anyway, I don't know what that means. I just don't even know what that means. So crazy stuff, and he's a crazy old man. And so speaking of the America First or the America First era being over, big business lobbies for foreign workers as 17 million Americans remain jobless, 17 million. Breitbart writes, a coalition of business groups led by the United States Chamber of Commerce are lobbying President Joe Biden's administration to allow them to import foreign workers, even as more than 17 million Americans remain jobless. Last year, in the midst of the Chinese coronavirus, the CCP virus for politically correctness, former President Donald Trump signed an executive order halting the admission of H-1B, H-4, H-2B, L and J-1 foreign visa workers to protect the U.S. labor market. The order sought to free up at least 600,000 jobs for millions of Americans facing joblessness and unemployment. The benefits of a tightened labor market in which employees hold negotiating power over employees or employers, manifested between 2017 and 2019 as the Trump administration sought to reduce overall immigration to protect the U.S. labor market. In November 2019, for example, the bottom 25% of wage earners saw the largest spike in their paychecks thanks to a tightened labor market with less foreign competition, or illegal foreign competition. Americans in the construction, mining, finance, hospitality, and hospitality got destroyed by the coronavirus lockdown. 2 weeks. Okay, just 2 weeks more. Okay, I'm... My other occupation, full-time musician in Nashville, Tennessee, married to the hospitality, just completely got wiped out, you know? Ridiculous. Now, by the grace of God go I, and our family survived it by the help of the Lord and many of his people. And just the way things worked out. And it taught me a lot about his providence. This year. But man, so let me get back on track. Americans in the construction, mining, finance, hospitality, and manufacturing industries enjoyed some of the highest wage growth at the time. In contrast, a flooded labor market from mass legal and illegal immigration to the U.S. has had a devastating impact on the nation's working and middle class while redistributing wealth to the highest earners. To the highest earners, redistributing wealth to the highest earners. I hope you heard that. I was talking about that a little bit earlier, and I said I'd get back to it in the show, and this is it. While creating an economy that tilts in the favor of employers, an economic model helped keep wages stagnant for decades. Long story short, okay, hiring illegals, politically correct, we got to do this right, the politically correct word police again, undocumented aliens, I think is what they want us to say now. It's cheaper labor and higher margins for immoral employers. And a flood of illegal workers for cheap labor competes against American citizens on an uneven playing field for jobs, and it redistributes wealth to the rich. Blue-collar working-class Americans can't get work. But you can see which way Biden will go on this because his press secretary, Jen Psaki, a circleback girl, she said that this Trump protection for American workers is immoral. And here I thought the Democrat cared about the little guy, right? If I really believe that, you could probably sell me oceanfront property in Arizona. George Strait. Woo-woo! Okay, next article, which is related to this one, is just more terror for the American wage earner. Okay, y'all, this is my last article of the day, and it's related to the previous one. This podcast, this one, I told you was a power-packed show. I'm going to put it all out in one one product, but I may have to split it up into two. Because it's so long, y'all might just not be able to hear it all in one day. I don't know. I've got to see how long it's going to be. But I had a lot to tell you, a lot to say. Very concerned about our country. But just remember, everybody, our God is bigger, and he's in control. This is his world, okay? So let's go on to this last article. Another article by Breitbart, which has to do with the 17 million workers, wage earners that are not earning wages right now. and they're being threatened by the last article spoke of, you know, illegal immigration, basically not making it very helpful for Americans first to get jobs. Can't compete with somebody who's going to undercut you by $5 an hour. And then how are you supposed to even afford, you know, to make a living? So here we go. Big tech. Coke Network cheer Biden's amnesty to flood labor market. So there's just a couple points here. One, big tech's lobbying arm and the Koch brothers network of donor class. There's a dog whistle. If they're a donor class, politicians are listening, and they're listening well. Anyway, the Koch brothers network of donor class organizations are cheering on President Joe Biden's amnesty plan that would pack the United States labor market with more foreign visa workers for business to hire over American graduates and professionals. Two, this week, Biden's amnesty plan was introduced in Congress by Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, as Democrats look to increase foreign competition in the U.S. workforce while more than 17 million Americans are jobless. Among other things, this is number three, among other things, the plan would put nearly all illegal aliens in the U.S. on an 8-year path to citizenship, provide $4 billion in foreign aid to Central America. Why? Expand the U.S. labor market with, $4 billion in foreign aid to Central America. Whatever happened to the stimulus checks because you put us all out of work? Mr. Biden? Oh, and then telling us that you were going to send $2,000. And then later, trying to do fuzzy math. I think one of the Bushes said that, fuzzy math. And to say, well, it's going to be $1,400 on top of the $600 that already just came out at the end of 2020. Fuzzy math. That's what you call that. I don't even want your money. But, I mean, you've been giving it to everybody who's already got jobs anyway, because you haven't really figured out who should get it and who shouldn't get it. Not even that smart. I mean, even that happened under Trump. But it's because Congress, you're not really working it out that well. You know that all these stimulus checks are just going to result in a depression. It's not an investment. Stimulus actually stimulates the economy, but when you're just giving people money to live on, you're devaluing the dollar. It's just not an investment. It's leading to a depression. But that's okay, because then everybody will be dependent on you, even though all the money you have is our money. Sorry about that. Rabbit trail again. So provide $4 billion in foreign aid to Central America. Expand the U.S. labor market with more foreign visa workers. Expedite green cards for foreign relatives, otherwise known as chain migration. Potentially add 52 million foreign-born residents to the U.S. population. Votes. Eliminate per-country caps, ensuring India monopolizes employment green cards. It's crazy. Increase the diversity visa lottery program, where visas are given out randomly. Provide green cards to foreign students who graduate in advance STEM fields. Who graduate in advanced STEM fields. I read that wrong. Lastly, bring already deported illegal aliens back into the U.S., providing them amnesty. So, my point is, if you're going to give illegal aliens amnesty, don't you think that would encourage any foreigner to come to the United States? Do you think that it would encourage any foreigner to come to the United States the legal way? If there's no borders, you don't have a country. And if you're letting illegals get a fast track to citizenship, and you're letting them in illegally and giving them amnesty, there's no way that people are going to keep trying to do it legally. It's like banging their head against the wall for no reason at all. Not that it's banging your head against the wall to do it legally, but it is. I mean, there's hurdles. It's difficult, and there's reasons, because there's laws that have been enacted for a reason. Okay. But you're not going to be encouraging that. You're going to be encouraging what Democrats typically always encourage, and it's lawlessness as long as it benefits their party. Is there any vestige of America remaining with regard to the founders' vision of liberty and freedom and laws, economic prosperity, a land where you can make your own dreams come true? Or is the American experiment over, and are we now just a mediocre socialist disaster destined to collect in the ash heap of the formerly fallen great nations of the earth? I don't know. How do you feel about it? It's a lot of depressing news, but I do think that one of the good things about this is that it has caused an inspiration amongst conservatives to forget their old ways of apathy and to understand that now doing just one or two jobs, you know, being a wage earner or a business owner, a small business owner, a husband, a father, someone who does well for their community and their church, there's another job now that has to be done. I know that you want to have trust in your elected representatives, because that's what they're supposed to do. And over in this podcast, I've talked about a democracy. Well, they always get it wrong. America is supposed to be a representative republic, okay? And so you want to be able to count on your representatives to represent you. That's their job. But here lately, it looks like you're going to have to speak up and get them in line, and it's probably going to be a difficult path because it's eroded so badly, in my opinion, that we've got another job now to do, aside from taking out the trash and doing the dishes and all of this. I spent a good amount of time today trying to bring this news to you because I'm annoyed. And I'll be there to fight against things that bother me. And when I say fight, I mean it in a hyperbolic way, not the way that the Democrats, who have always said fight in all of their stump speeches, but not the way that they say that Trump was saying it, to incite an insurrection. Okay. So anyway, I'm glad you guys are here. Check it out. If you like this podcast, it might be going on the radio. I'm now on Anchor FM, Spotify. I got on iHeartRadio. Podcast can be found on Google Podcasts and a bunch of others. It's called The George Dunn Show. Like George Strait and Brooks and Dunn. All you got to do is look that up, The George Dunn Show. I might be on the radio soon. But as of the moment, I'm only relying on crowdfunding. So you can check these out in video or audio form at www. You got to put that in. There's some kind of issue right now where if you don't put that in, it's a problem. www.georgedunshow.com. You can go see that website. It's just developing, but everything's there. Almost everything's there. At the end of this video, I'll throw up some crowdfunding, like PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, if you appreciated what you heard here, so that I can continue to develop this, build it, and make it bigger, try to bring it to you, because I enjoy doing this, and I hope you enjoy the news that I'm collecting and disseminating to you. And we'll grow together. This can become ours. You can message me and stuff. There's contact on there. You can sign up. You can subscribe on the website. Send me a message. Let me know if there's anything you want to talk about or you want me to talk about. And what I like to say is, although there are many things that are above our understanding in this world, it's all under the feet of Jesus. So, keep the faith, keep looking up, and give them heaven. I'm George Dunn, signing off from The George Dunn Show. Cheers.